you need a prayer this morning, I just want to invite you up to the front. And there's people here that want to pray with you. Just come up to the front and just bring your cares to the Lord this morning. Bring your cares to the Lord this morning. Lay your burdens down before God this morning.
freedom. That's why you came, to set us free. Today we come in the name that is above every name, that the Word says that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and You are the end. There's freedom in You. Your name is above every sickness. Your name is above depression. Your name is above everything. And so today we come to You in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray today. We ask God Your touch on Josie. We ask Heavenly Father that in her body that You would do a healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, Father, we just pray Your touch on her body. And we believe by faith, God, even now, that Your Holy Spirit is moving through her. And we thank You. We pray, Lord, right now for Bob Frettenborough, who's in the hospital with an infection. God, we know You're going to move inside of that. We're lifting him to You right now, that You would glorify Your name once again. And for his daughter, she lost their house, burned down. And God, we know that the love of people are going to come together and help restore that. Even what she lost, God, that will be replaced. That people are going to come alongside of that family. And Lord, lay it upon our hearts. Folks, even in this congregation right now, saying, what can I do? God, lay it on their hearts. We thank You. Across this place, Father, we're just praying for Your touch, for healing, for relationships, for deliverance from addictions. God, we pray for that freedom. We thank You for the men and women who are serving today. We ask Your touch on their lives, that You'd keep them safe. We think about Norm Croft as he's back now again in Afghanistan to finish his tour, and others, and Jonathan in Japan, and others. We just ask, God, Your protection and Your safety over them. Lord, today, we would ask that You would speak to our hearts. And we pray these things in the strong and mighty name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to invite our ushers to come forward now for our morning tithes and offerings. We're going to worship the Lord through our giving. Our team in Africa, we continue in our prayers. Just to update, last week while I was gone, I got a phone call. It's weird getting a phone call from Africa in North Carolina and to hear that my daughter had chills and sickness and high fever and shakes. I'm not sure, well, what did you get? I mean, what's going on? Certainly, that's not what God called them over there to do. When you prayed, God met and God answered. And within 24 hours, I got a phone call and she was healed. And that's an amazing thing to hear that happen. And the same for Emily as we lifted up those prayers ahead of time that God moves in that. And we just continue to pray those things because God answers prayer. Father, for these tithes and these offerings, we worship You through our giving. And we thank You for the blessing that's ours to sow. We know, Father, that as we've sown, we have reaped. Lord, You just ask us to put in a mustard seed, and You give us back an entire crop. It's so much more than we could ever imagine. And so, Father, take these gifts now in Jesus' name. Amen. I had the privilege of taking my daughter. My 10-year-old was home, and I thought I better not leave her with the boys. That's all I could think of, my 20 and 21-year-old. And the only reason, not that they're not responsible, but if the dog doesn't get fed, I was a little worried about my 10-year-old daughter not getting fed while I was gone. So I put her in a car, and they said, bring her down to camp. So I took her down to camp, and we had an incredible time. Our week down there, the temperature was about 100 degrees every day. The humidity was 100%, which made the heat index about 110+. There were advisories out, and I'm out on a basketball court at 2 in the afternoon playing basketball with a bunch of youth and youth pastors. Why? I don't know. The temperatures, I mean, it was incredible. I couldn't keep a dry shirt going. Today I want to talk to you about fair weather. The weather can change so quick. And the minute it changes, you know, it's funny. They said, what are you doing out here in this weather? Why don't you go in the shade? I said, are you kidding me? I live in Michigan where we have snow 12 months a year, it seems like. And everybody wanted to have good weather. Everybody wanted to have good weather up here. We've got great weather. Now everybody says it's too hot. It is too hot. It is. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's not hot enough. I want to do a barbecue. It's too cloudy. It's not cloudy enough. Weathering life. Life just changes that quick. And yesterday, we were here, and our hearts certainly continue in prayer with Bob Trumbull and his family that's here. And yesterday, as Colleen, we had her service. She went to be with the Lord. And yesterday, we had the service, the memorial here. And life changes quick. Life changes fast. You know, it's amazing. I meet people all the time, and they say, well, I used to believe in God. I used to believe in God. But God didn't come through for me, is basically what they say. He let me down. How many people feel like God lets them down? And weathering life, fair weather people. I've got my Detroit Tigers shirt on today. Going to a Tigers game. They've lost two in a row. I've already heard the boos. Guys striking out, not scoring runs. You hear the boos. I'm not going to boo them. I don't even know them. They don't know me. I'm not going to let their life affect my life because I don't even know these guys. The only one I'm going to let affect my life is Jesus Christ. He's the only one in my life. It's amazing how quickly people will jump on the bandwagon, and the minute things don't go well, they'll jump off the bandwagon. I want to let you know something. There's a story in your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to grab a hold of this. Well, I was in North Carolina all week. I showed this to the high school students, the college students, the adults, the pastors. They said, where did you get that? I said, we do that every Sunday in our church. And they're all writing it down. They said, I want to do that for the rest of my life. So here we go. If you have your Bible, this is what we do because we believe it. Are you ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, ever-living, indestructible Word of God. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 18, our story, there's three verses in this I just want you to look at. It's a great story. His name is Elijah. He is an incredibly godly man. The problem is, nobody else is. He is the only one following God in Israel. The king has built all these temples to Baal and Asherah. They're worshiping idols. We pick up this story in 1 Kings, and what is absolutely incredible to me is this. As they're doing this, Elijah makes a challenge. He said, let's go up on Mount Carmel and let's have a little challenge. We'll call on God, and the God who answers, he will be God. And so they build this huge altar. They put wood around it, a nice big bonfire. They're going to get a sacrifice, a bull, and they're going to put it on there. And look at what happens. It's in chapter 18. And I'd like to pick this up in verse 21. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. What he's saying is this. Look, I understand you know Jesus Christ. Let me interpret this. I understand you say you believe, but listen, folks, you are worshiping like everybody else. You are not bowing to the God of the universe, Jesus Christ. And here it is. He's saying, look, if Jesus is Lord, follow him. Stop playing around. There's no fence. The devil owns the fence. Don't sit on it. If you want to sit on it, can I tell you something? That's not a good place to be. I always tell teenagers, I said, you know, you got one foot over here in preparation for heaven. You got one foot over here in preparation for hell. You're sitting on the fence. That's preparation H. Don't sit on that spot. You don't want to find yourself on the fence. The devil owns the fence. Are you with me? And Elijah stands up before the people. He says, stop wavering. I think about the little girl named Skylar. I heard her story. I've shared it before. Her mom and dad are having a brand new baby. She's the one and only. Daddy's little apple of his eye, and all of a sudden, a new baby's arriving. It's going to be a rivalry. The baby's born. Mom and dad aren't sure what to do, and Skylar keeps saying, I want to go in and talk to my little baby brother alone in his crib, and mom and dad aren't going to let her go in there by themselves. They're not sure what she's going to do, and finally, one night, they say, fine, go ahead, and she goes in, cracks the door. She goes into the room, and they're going to sit there, and they just watch from the door to see what she's going to go say to her little brother. And she gets up to him. She leans down in the crib and she says, little brother, tell me what God looks like. I'm starting to forget. Listen, I want you to know something. We need to be like Skyler. We need to get to the place because we live in Never Never Land. Never talk about Jesus. High school students, when you get school, junior high kids, elementary students, listen, we live in a place that says, let's not talk about Jesus. You keep him in that Sunday place, but on Mondays, we don't talk about him. We live in Never Never Land. And you know what? We start forgetting who our God is. And as soon as the weather gets bad, I forget who God is in my life, and I see people walk away all the time. And Elijah reminds them, and he says, listen, and I want to tell you, today, I'm going to encourage you this morning, choose a team, and know what team you're on. Pick a team. Listen, if you want to follow God, follow God. If you don't want to follow God, look it, fine, go play for the other team, okay? But don't think you can sit on the bench. And I want to let you know what team you're playing for. Elijah reminds us. The first thing he says there is, in verse 24, he says, you call on the name of your God, I'll call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he'll be God. The God who answers by fire, he is God. Let me tell you what team you play for. Leading off. Can I tell you who's leading off in this game? Here's who your leadoff hitter is. He's number three. Leading off for our team is number three. He's the forgotten player. Can I tell you something? He's a power hitter. His name is the Holy Spirit. He is leadoff on my team. I want you to know something. The church doesn't talk about this enough. May it be said here this morning that you heard about the Holy Spirit. He is the third part of the Trinity, and he is my leadoff hitter in my life for my team. He is a power hitter, and he leads with fire. Amen? Are you with me? I'll tell you what, I'm so excited about it. I just did a camp, and I mean hundreds and hundreds of students and college students and adults and pastors and workers who came into this place. It was packed in this tabernacle. And I talked about the Holy Spirit, and I talked about that fire, because here it is. We sometimes forget who we have on our team. I've got number three up to bat, leading off every morning when I wake up in the morning. There's the Holy Spirit in my life, and he leads with a fire and power. He's coming to my life. Do you remember that fire and power? He tells me in my life, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. My Bible tells me that he leads off with this. He steps up to the plate and he never strikes out. He steps up and the Bible says, if God is for me, who can be against me? You see, when he leads off, there's no curveball that's going to catch me. He can't slide a fastball past me. The devil can't take that in my life because I've got number three leading off in my life. Everything I do is the Holy Spirit. When I woke up this morning, the first thing in my thoughts, the first thing that went through my mind is no rock will outpraise me this morning. The second thing that went through my mind is where's my iPad? I want some praise music on this morning when I get up. I want my heart bouncing. I want my life jumping. I want my spirit moving. I want to know that God is in control of my life. And leading off today for Team Jesus is number three, the Holy Spirit. We forget, I was sharing this with the students. I said, sometimes as Christians, we get saved. God comes in and he cleans us up, and we say, we've been saved. Paul came across a bunch of Christians in Acts chapter 19, and he came up to him. He says, hey, guys, what do you think of that Holy Spirit number three? It's in your Bible, Acts 19. And he walks up, he says, what do you think about that? And they said, excuse me, who? Are you guys Christians? Oh, yeah, we're Christians. Well, what do you think about that Holy Spirit? And these guys said, we've never heard of him. Come on. You're Christians. Oh, yeah. Well, what baptism do you have? Well, we have the baptism of John. And he said, no, no, no. You have the baptism of repentance of John. You see, I have that. I said to God one time, God, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. He came in and he washed me clean. But the Bible says when that spirit, Jesus told a story, when that spirit, you know, when that evil goes out of my life, it goes out and it finds six just like him and even worse. Comes back to the house and sees the house is all swept, all nice, all clean. But there's no one living there. And says it comes in and occupies, and that man's life is worse than it was before. I meet people all the time, says, I tried that God thing. Yeah, I told God I was sorry and I wanted to go to heaven. But did you get the Holy Spirit? And I invited, I'll tell you what, Thursday night. and the crowd goes wild. The dead in Christ, and the trumpet sounds, and the clouds part. And I'm telling you what, it's the ninth inning, and here he comes. He is the closer of closers. And the Bible says he's the beginning, he's the ending, he's the Alpha, and he's the Omega. And he is the soon and returning King. He is my closer. He's going to close my life out. The Bible says at the twinkle of an eye. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Listen, I know one day I'm going to die. I hope it's not in a rollover. I hope it's not some disease in Africa. I hope it's not cancer. You know what? I want to go. I want to just close my eyes one night, go to sleep, and wake up in heaven. You know what? God may say that's not going to be how it goes. But I'll tell you this. He's my closer. He's going to make sure I get there. The Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I will be changed. He changed my life here on earth. I guarantee you, he can change my life in heaven. I'm not the same man I used to be. I am not perfect. I stand before you a sinful man. What do you mean by that? I sit here with the same temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Brother, it says, all temptations are common. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. I stand up here. I'm a preacher because I've been ordained. But I'm a man of God just like anyone else in here, and I walk the same walk, but I know who my God is. I know what team I play for, and I don't want to live in that. I want to live on this side. I don't want to live in that temptation. So I say no to that temptation and yes to God's righteousness. I know who my closer is. I mean, he's the God who has saved me. He's the God who has raised me up. He's the God who's healed me. And whatever he decides to do in the close of my life, I'll take that, God. I trust you. I know whose team I play for. And in this 40 years, or 20 years, or 53 years, or 10 months, or 96 years, whatever God gives me, he will be my closer. And because Jesus Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection of the dead, we who are in Christ shall also be raised up just like him. There's no doubt in my mind that God is my closer. I wish you could know him today. I give you an opportunity to know him. Here's how I want to close the service. I'd like you to bow your heads right now, and I'd like you to examine this thing. And here's my question to you. Have you given Jesus Christ your life? Have you given Jesus Christ everything? Have you asked number three of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Have you asked the Holy Spirit to come and fill your life? Maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you just like to say, I'd like to have that in my life. I'm going to ask you right now, by faith, you can say, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you into my life. God, I want to be on your team. You know what? I'm tired of sitting on the fence. I'm not going to do that anymore. So come into my life. I choose you. I know what team I'm on. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Lead me. Jesus, will you be clean up for me? Will you take my life and clean it up? Would you repair the altar of my heart? I haven't been living so good. I haven't been doing the things I need to do. My altar is broken. But Jesus, I'm convinced if I let you in, you'll come in and you'll restore it. Don't you want that? Why don't you just tell him right now in your heart, God, restore me. Put it back. Make it right. I love you today. Choose a team today. I love the words of Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But here, I just want you to know, as for me and my house, in the good weather and the bad weather, in the cancer and in the health, in the financial difficulties and in the financial riches, in everything, in the hot weather and the snow, I choose God. I pick a team today. That's you right now, and you just want to say, God, I choose you. I'm going to ask you right now to stand up. If you're making a decision for Jesus Christ right where you're at with people praying, I'm just going to ask you to stand up. This week, I saw people for the first time giving their life to the Lord. I saw people who go to church their whole life. And they said, Pastor, I got to tell you, I've been faking it. But today, I've given God to my heart. Yes, standing up there. Anyone else? Standing. Just standing. You're making a decision right now for Jesus Christ. You're choosing a team. Go ahead and stand up quickly. Quickly. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. All over this place. Yes. I see the hand. Yep. Thank you, God. All over this place. God, restore my heart. God, restore my heart. Fix the altar of my life. It's broken. Anyone else? All over this place. All over this place. Thank you, God. Father in heaven, we thank you. We came to church on this hot July day. But God, we've encountered the living God. Maybe we just need to be reminded how great you are. Once again, we surrender our lives. Come into our lives. Be the Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I believe by faith, God, and I walk by power, not by sight. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give him a hand. Praise the Lord. Give him a hand this morning. I've got a little surprise for you. You got that ready, Bob? Do we have that? If I could introduce this, if out of the bullpen, or if somehow we're at some kind of place where we wanted to introduce God or introduce Jesus, how can that be done? I thought about this morning, and then someone showed me a video of a comedian with 20,000. This isn't church, folks. And I want to tell you something. If people who aren't in church can do this, well, let's just take a look. This guy by the name of Steve Harvey, he's a comedian. He's doing his comedy act with all kinds of clean jokes. At the end of it, he starts going preacher Elijah on these people. 20,000 in the audience. Take a look at this. We okay? It froze up. Introducing Jesus, technology doesn't like that. I'm telling you what, cell phones and computers. We'll give it just a second here. Telling you what. And they're not even in church. I'll tell you, if the world can do that, it's time to pick a team. Amen? Let's stand together. And our benediction, let it be this. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is working us through Christ Jesus our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.